You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Here's Peter saying, God, you know that I can't do that. I can't do that. I have lived, I've eaten, I've never eaten anything that was forbidden by our laws. And the voice spoke again. If God says something is acceptable, don't say it isn't. The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheets pulled up again to heaven. Peter was perplexed. What could the vision mean? And in verse 17, the New Living Translation includes all this in this way. Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found the house and stood outside the gate. Peter is just coming out of this God encounter where God is challenging his thoughts and his theology. These men, the three, they've come from Cornelius' home. They ask if this was the place where Simon Peter was staying. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, three men have come looking for you. Do you see that God is speaking with clarity and using specifics? Think about Noah getting ready to build the ark. So who's the architect for this thing? God. Who's the engineer? God. Who's the designer? God. Well, where do I get all that information? God. What do people do that don't have a Bible? Their Bibles have been stolen. I know, we go, that could never happen in America. That could never happen. My wife sharing with me the other morning, I think it was in the morning, that the underground church, at least a gathering of the underground church, was totally wiped out. Every one of them martyred. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have what we have today. But still God communicated with them in clear, precise manners. Why is it in 2021 that we have churches that do not believe that God is still able to give you clarity and direction in your life and give us clarity and direction as His church in these days of the end time that we're in? I believe with my whole heart that if Jesus tarries, the religious institutions are going to fall flat on their face because you're not going to find the answers in their rule books. We're going to have to find the answers in God. We're going to have to be in His presence. That's why it's so important that we now learn to seek the presence of God, and that we understand, yes, the Word of God is complete. We're not looking for new revelation. We're simply looking to understand the revelation we have. How am I to apply this? And when the Word says in John that the Holy Spirit will convict the world, but to the church He will lead us and guide us into all truth. What does that mean to you? Does that not mean that the Word of God will be broken down so each one of us can understand it by the Holy Spirit, and it will bring light to the dark path we might have and will guide us and strengthen us to follow in that path? That's what it means to me. So, the three men are there. Go down. The Holy Spirit says to him, three men have come looking for you, not four. How many of you know God can count? It was three, not four. If there had been four, I'd say, nope, this isn't God. God sent me to find the three, right? Three men have come looking for you. Go down. Go with them without hesitation. All is well, for I have sent them. So Peter went down and said, I'm the man you're looking for. Why have you come? And they said, we were sent by Cornelius, Roman officer. He's a devout man, fears the God of Israel, is well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him. Just going to rehearse exactly. So we know they got the storyline right, right? Here it is. They tell him exactly what happened. To send for you so you can go to his house and give him a message. So Peter invited the men to be his guests for the night. The next day, he went with them accompanied by some other believers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for him and had called together his relatives and close friends. This is really cool, isn't it? Cornelius brings all of his family, brings in his neighbors. You know, he's a man of authority. He knows a lot of people. He brings people together, the key people together, brings them all together. And as Peter enters his home, verse 25, Cornelius fell to the floor before him in worship. Now, Peter pulled him up and said, stand up, I'm a human being just like you. Now, we know Peter is already catching what God is saying, because the Jews would not have looked at a Roman officer as being just like them. But because God has spoke to him, he's getting it that this man is a man that's seeking God, and that they're on the same terms, and you're not going to worship me, I'm just a man. So Cornelius got up and they talked together and went inside where the others were assembled. And Peter told them, you know it's against the Jewish laws for me to come into a Gentile home like this. But God has shown me that I should never think of anyone as impure. Was God trying to get Peter to change his diet? Not really. God was trying to change Peter so Peter looked at people different. So Peter's getting it. I should never think of anyone as impure. So I came as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me. Now this comes to the topic. Those who seek will receive. A seeker of God will receive. You may have a relative that may be in a church like the church I was in. They didn't talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't talk about the gifts of the Spirit with the manifestation of the Spirit. They didn't talk about all of that like I understand the Word of God today. But I was a seeker. Some of you are where you are in your walk with God today because you were a seeker. And you may have a relative and you say, oh, well, you know, they're in this church and it's a cold church and they don't even teach the Word of God, and this one's over in that church and they're not really, they're not going to hear what they need to hear over there. But if they are a seeker, of God, God knows how to meet us right where we are. And so, Cornelius replied, now he's going to tell the story again, right? 4 days ago, maybe we'll get it. You wonder why preachers give them their points three times? Here it is in the Word of God. This is the third time, just so we get it right. We need to get it right. 4 days ago, I was praying in my house, 3 o'clock, same time, right? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly, man, dazzling clothes, and he goes through all this. He told me, Cornelius, your prayers. We already read all that. Verse 32, now send some men to Joppa. We already know he did that, right? And summon Simon Peter. Isn't that cool that they even knew the name of the man they were going to get? That God told him in the vision the name? So they knew that they didn't get the wrong Simon. There were two Simons in the house. They were to get the right Simon, the Simon Peter that was in the house. And so here they are. He is staying in the home of Simon, a leather worker, who lives near the shore. I can just see these guys. I get into the story and I just walk. I've been there in Joppa. And I can just see these guys saying, hey, where does Simon the Tanner live? Oh, well, he lives on down on the next street. All right, well, we'll head on down there. Why are you looking for Simon? Oh, because we're on a mission. You know, our boss had a dream, and God showed him, you know, through an angel that we're to go there and find one of his guests, and his guest is going to come with us and going to minister. And I can just see people going, yeah, right, some more of those crazy people, right? Wouldn't it be awesome again for the church to come into the house of God filled with fresh words from God that God has birthed in your heart? I kind of came into a whole new level of faith and relationship with God through the Holy Spirit back during the charismatic renewal. And I remember coming in and I just thought everybody was crazy there. It wasn't like just the preacher or the singers or the dancers. I thought everybody was nuts because people were always coming up. The Lord said, and I'm going to share with you, and thus saith the Lord. And I'm like, man, you know, I'd never been around so many people that were like that, maybe one or two. Wouldn't it be awesome for all of us to start our day and say, God, I don't want to go anywhere until I've heard you speak to me. I want to make sure that before I go into this day that I know what God is saying, so I know when I get there, I'll have the message to give to those I'm going to see. Many of you start your day like that. Some of you are wanting to start your day like that. I want to encourage you to take a pad of paper with you. Say, God, I believe if you say something to me, it's going to be important enough I should take notes. And so I'm coming prepared. I'm going to come with my pad, I'm going to come with my pen, and I come with the Word of God, and I'm expecting you to speak to me, and that you're going to give me something that's important for me to share. This is a part of my quiet time with the Word of God on a daily basis. And I encourage you to develop your personal prayer life and your relational interaction with God to where you not only speak to God, but you listen for God to speak to you. Well, so I sent for you at once, verse 33, and it was good of you to come. Now, here we are. Now here we are. Waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. It's not arrogant to pray to be used like this. It's not an arrogant thing to say, God, I desire for you to work in my life in such a way that other people, that you can send. You realize this was a God setup? You understand that Peter didn't have to go find Cornelius. Cornelius was sent to find Peter. Do you know this is not knocking on door evangelism? This is God's Holy Spirit bringing people across your path and my path that God has already prepared, who want to go deeper in the things of God, that God brings them to us because God has entrusted us with His message of life. Now here we are, we're all waiting before God to hear the message. I can see them on the edge of their seat. And then Peter said, I can see clearly that God doesn't show partiality. Because now there's a room full of the Corneliuses, right? It's not just one Gentile. Now he's got a room full. In every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. I'm sure. Now, you might end up with more points, less points. I have like 6 points to his little message he gives. But in verse 6, I'm sure you've heard about the good news for the people of Israel. There is peace with God through Jesus Christ. To me, that's my first point of his message. He just looks at him and says, I know you've heard about the message that's come to Israel. There's good news for the people of Israel with God through Jesus Christ. You know what happened all through Judea, beginning in Galilee after John the Baptist was preaching? Then the second point that I see in his message is, no doubt you know. He starts out by saying, I'm sure you've already heard, but no doubt you know that God anointed Jesus. He wasn't ordinary. Jesus of Nazareth, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so Peter's saying, I know you already know this. I'm just rehearsing this for you. And then he comes to what I call point number 3. And he said, we apostles, identifies himself along with the others, are witnesses of all that he did. Cornelius, I was there. I saw it. I experienced this. It's for real. This is not something that I heard secondhand. I was there. So what I'm telling you actually happened. We apostles are witnesses of all this in Jerusalem. They put him to death. Here's point number 4, because the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection are key points of the gospel. They put him to death by crucifixion. They crucified him. Then number 4, but death couldn't hold him. God raised him to life 3 days later. This is the gospel. And Peter is just sharing it with them, saying, you've already heard this. Then God allowed him, this is number 5, God allowed him to appear. I mean, after he's been crucified and he's rose from the dead, then God allowed him to appear. And he talks about not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen beforehand to be witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Then point 7, he ordered us. He ordered us to preach everywhere and testify that Jesus is ordained of God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. You see the message is just rolling out of Peter. Peter is just unloading what he had shared so many times. But now he's sharing it with a Gentile. And then he comes to what I call point number 8. He says, he is the one, Jesus. He's the one that all the prophets testified about, saying, everyone, listen, part of the gospel, everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Right? Salvation. Peter's given the salvation message to a Gentile. Number 9. Even as Peter was saying these things. Even as Peter is saying these things. God's going to do something with this whole group. The Holy Spirit fell. The Holy Spirit fell. You say, well, wasn't the Holy Spirit already there? Of course. This is where theologies get so mixed up. The Holy Spirit was here in Genesis, moving upon the face of the earth as the Word is being given, fulfilling the Word of God. The Holy Spirit was here. But now the Holy Spirit is falling upon these Gentiles. And here they are as the Holy Spirit falls upon them. All who heard the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter, they're amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles too. See, they didn't have the same experience that Peter had. Peter had that God experience where he's taken by the Spirit of God. And he sees that there's no difference between a Jew or a Gentile before God. That Jesus is the Messiah for both, and both must be saved. The rest of the Jews had not got it yet, and they'll struggle with this message. But then in verse 46, there could be no doubt about it, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Where did that happen? Did that happen in Acts chapter 2 with the Jews? Did that happen over here in Acts 2? Let's look there for 1 minute. Acts chapter 2. These are those many who were there. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. That was with the Jews. Now this in chapter 10 is with the Gentiles. And now with the Gentiles, the passage, it gives us this revelation that the Spirit of God is being poured upon each one of them individually. Remember the fire, remember the wind, and remember the tongues that came to the Jewish believers, the 120 in the upper room. Here now is Cornelius, a Roman soldier with his house full of people. And now there is a room full of Romans that are filled with the Holy Spirit and power. And it happened while Peter was sharing the gospel with them. Now let me ask you a question. Do you see anywhere in this passage where Peter shares what he shared at Pentecost, where he said you must be converted, you must repent, you must recognize that you are responsible, that you had your hand in the death of the Messiah? None of that in Peter's message at Pentecost is taking place here. You know why? Because Cornelius already believed. He already believed. He already had heard the story of Jesus. He already had believed that. He just hadn't been coached in the next step. He didn't know where to go from there. And so the topic, the title is, "Those Who Seek Will Receive." Here's Cornelius, and Cornelius is, he is hungry for all that God has for him. He's praying, he's seeking God, he's generous. And God does what God always does. That's what it says the Holy Spirit will do. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. And Cornelius is now led to receive the fullness and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And do you know what? No one taught Cornelius how to speak in tongues. They didn't have a clinic on how it's done. God showed up in each one of their lives, and there was an affirmation. There was a confirmation. There was a release of that holy fire and that holy wind, and it came out through a transformed tongue, a new heavenly tongue. And all of them received. All of them received. I too have experienced this. Where I too was in a church that did not talk about the baptism of the Spirit, did not introduce this. God began to send people to us. My wife worked for Bobby Walker. What a precious saint of God. And Bobby Walker, I didn't know. Bobby invited us to come into a Bible study at her house. And I thought, oh, this is great. You know, Bobby knows I went to Bible college and, you know, I've been a Christian all these years. And she knows that I have a lot that I can share with them. And, you know, this is going to be good for them. And I'm so excited about what I'm going to bring to Robert Peck and Rita Peck and people like Dr. Holder and all these kind of people. I'm thinking I have something to give to them. But you know what was really going on? God was at work in my wife and myself to bring us to Pentecost. We simply didn't know what we'd been missing. And we would come in, and they were all so nice. And they would ask questions. And they would participate in the Bible study. And then I would leave, and I would think, I feel like I'm missing something. I feel like I'm missing something here. And I would go over, and Bobby would meet me at the door. Rachel was working in their daycare. She'd come to the door. Her hands would be out. And she would come out just like this. And she'd come over, and she'd grab my hands. And she would say, would you pray with me? And I thought she wanted me to pray with her. But what was happening, she was praying with me that I would receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I was just like Cornelius. I didn't know any better. I was serving God with what I knew. Some of you relate to this, that for years you served God with what you understood, with what you knew. And I have so many friends, you know, in the ministry, pastors and leaders, great leaders, and, you know, I'll hear them say things like, oh, well, when I was born again, I received all of the Holy Spirit. There's never any more. I know I'll never get any more of the Holy Spirit. And I remember I used to say things like that. Oh, yes, when you're born again, you get all of the Holy Spirit there is. Well, so, you know, Cornelius could have said, well, I guess I have all that God has for me because I even see angels and God even speaks to me. But no, that was not Cornelius' heart. Because God was meeting him. God was providing. God was ministering his life. And it says, can anyone object to their being baptized? Now that they have received the Holy Spirit, this is verse 47, just as we did.